Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about the New Testament Church today. If you have been with us the last couple of weeks, you know we've been teaching and preaching about the New Testament Church and how the Spirit was poured out on all mankind, starting at Acts, the second chapter, verse 1, on the day of Pentecost. They were all together with one accord, and the Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire, and it touched each and every person there. They were all in one accord, and so every one of them received, everyone received a tongue of fire, everyone received a blessing of the Holy Spirit, everyone began to speak in tongues and received a revelation from God, and they began to preach. And those very same people who prior to that day were cowardly and scattered and broken, they became powerful ministers of the gospel. They became powerful ambassadors and evangelists and wanted to take to the nations the message of hope of Jesus Christ. And so that is God's will for you. That is God's will for me. That is God's will for all of us, is that we receive that baptism of fire, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that we go to the nations and we share with them God's will for them, that they should come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They can come to a place of repentance and recognize that they have sinned and come to a place where they understand that they need a Savior. And when they come to that place, when they come to that understanding that without a Savior they cannot be reconciled back to God, without the blood of Jesus they cannot be reconciled back to God. And so when they come to that place, then, beloved, God is there for them to take them into the Holy of Holies and to cover their sins with the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, if you prayed last week, for those of you who listened to the message last week, and if you did not listen to it, go to my website, gatheroutcast.com, and listen to that message. If you prayed last week to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you did not receive it, just keep asking the Lord, keep asking in faith and believing. Everything in a Christian walk is obtained by faith, by asking, and by faith and believing. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, the door shall be opened to him." And then it goes on to say that if our earthly fathers give us a loaf of bread when we ask for bread and not a stone, if our earthly fathers give us a fish when we ask for a fish and not a scorpion, and our earthly fathers, being wicked, know how to give us good and perfect gifts, then so much more so will our Heavenly Father give us good and perfect gifts. And so as you ask the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as you ask the Lord for a deeper walk, for that fire to give you the power, the dunamis power, to go out and preach and share and evangelize, if you ask the Lord for that and you believe in faith that you're going to receive it, beloved, you will receive it. So just keep asking. If you haven't received that baptism of fire yet, believe that it is going to happen. Just keep asking in faith. Keep worshiping the Lord. My experience in praying for people is that those that receive it the easiest are those that spend time in prayer and in fasting and in worship. And when you abandon yourself in worship, that is when most people are open to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so you just keep asking, you keep praying, you keep believing, and at some point in time, when you are broken before the Lord, when you have humbled yourself before the Lord, when you quit raising up intellectual arguments against the things God wants to give you, and you quit raising up your pride against the things God wants to give you, and you humble yourself completely as a child before the Lord, then you will receive those good and perfect gifts from the Lord. All the good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights above. In Him there is no change and no shifting shadow. And so God doesn't change His mind. His word doesn't change from one day to the next. His attitude toward you doesn't change from one day to the next. God's plan for you was determined even before you were born. God's destiny and His calling on you was determined even before you were born. And so God hasn't changed His mind about blessing you with the baptism of the Spirit and blessing you with every good and perfect gift from His kingdom. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Acts 2, verse 41. We're going to take up what happened right after Peter preached this gospel message, the first gospel message that was preached. And Peter was the preacher. He stood up in front of tens of thousands of Jews there at Pentecost in Jerusalem. He preached a message about Jesus Christ going to the cross, and many were saved that day. Verse 41, it said, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." And so the first church was birthed with 3,000 souls. 3,000 of the tens of thousands that heard the message, they heard the message in their own language. 3,000 of them responded, they received the message gladly, and they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they were baptized that day or shortly thereafter. And so 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom of God. Verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." At verse 43, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." And so I want to focus on those two verses. Verse 42, "They continued steadfastly in four things: the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." And in verse 43, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." Well, in verse 42, it tells us that the apostles' doctrine was the primary focus of the fellowship of the early New Testament church, the apostles' doctrine. And this is very important, beloved. It is very important that you know good doctrine. It is very important that you understand God's word for your life. Very important that you study God's word yourself. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It is very important for you to know good doctrine, and that can only come by studying God's word. That can only come by you picking up your Bible and reading it yourself and discerning what good doctrine is from the study that you have undertaken in God's word. Many people, one of the hallmarks of the end times, many people are going to be deceived. It's already happening across the earth. It's already happening in America. Many people are deceived because they do not study God's word. They do not know his word. They just rely on what their friends say about God, or what their friends say about Jesus Christ, or what the culture says about Jesus Christ. And beloved, in the days ahead, the culture is going to say, "You should not follow Jesus Christ." The culture is going to say that God, Jehovah God, the Father of Jesus Christ, is no different than the God of Islam or the God of any other kind of religion. And so you have to know good doctrine. You have to study God's word so that you will know for yourself good doctrine, and you will be able to discern when somebody is telling you something, whether they're telling you the truth or not. And I ask you, beloved, to test the spirits within me and ask the Lord, "Am I preaching you the truth?" And you can go to the scripture. The reason I preach out of the Bible, the reason I quote the chapter and verse, is so that you can go to that chapter and verse. I encourage you to open up your Bibles. When I teach over the radio, I encourage the men in the prison call-outs to bring their Bibles and to look and see for themselves what I am teaching and what I am preaching, so that they will know without a shadow of a doubt that what I am teaching them is coming straight from God's word, and that it is sound doctrine, that it is teaching for reproof and rebuke and instruction and teaching, and they don't have to worry that somebody is deceiving them, that I'm deceiving them. And so it is with you in this radio broadcast. You know, if you have your Bible there, I'm teaching and preaching what the word of God says. And sound doctrine, if you do not have sound doctrine, you can easily be led astray. And again, that is going to be one of the hallmarks of the end times, is that people are going to be deceived, because the devil is going to ramp up his deception as a counterattack to the kingdom of God. He's going to ramp up his deception, and he's going to lead many into deception and lead many to their death and to apostasy and to early death. and they will not fulfill their calling. They will not fulfill their destiny. They will not carry out the plan that God has for their life because they have fallen into a trap that the devil has set for them. What Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap upon themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Well, you already see that happening here in America and across the earth. People are gathering around teachers that want to tickle their ears, and people are gathering around teachers that want to tell them certain things are okay, and even though in God's Word He explicitly says those things are sin, and yet we have pastors standing in the pulpit preaching about the blessings of homosexual marriage. We have pastors standing in the pulpit preaching about the blessings of abortion. We have pastors standing in the pulpit asking people to idolize them and worship them, and all kinds of apostasy going on. And God says through the Apostle Paul that there will be a time coming, and it is here now, when people will want to gather teachers before them that will just tickle their ears and not preach to them about the truth of the gospel, that will not preach to them about the blood of Jesus, that will not preach to them about the body resurrection of Jesus Christ. They will not preach to them about the truth that is so clearly outlined in the Bible. And this day is here, beloved. There's lots of false doctrine out there. There's lots of false teaching. And if you don't know God's Word, you're going to fall prey to this false teaching. The second thing that was a hallmark of the early New Testament church was the fellowship. And I encourage each and every one of you, as I always have, even though the fact that I am preaching on the radio and teaching on the radio, I thank you for those of you who are listening. I thank you, maybe even some of you, because of your work schedule, or you've never been a member of a church, you weren't raised up in a church, and so you have a bias against the church. I encourage you to try to find a Bible teaching church, try to find a fellowship, one that can meet your needs, one that can meet your schedule, and stay in that fellowship. Meet there with the saints every week and study God's Word together. Meet there every week and pray with the saints every week. And if you will do that, you will see your spiritual walk start to be strengthened. You will see your spiritual walk start to be encouraged. And you'll see your spiritual walk start to manifest the things that God wants you to do. He will start to then use you in ways that you've never been used before. But you have to be in the fellowship. You have to be part of the active body of Christ. If you hang out there by yourself and you're isolated and you have no connection to the fellowship, you're not going to be able to fulfill the things that God has for you to fulfill. And so I ask you to get in a fellowship, find a good Bible-believing church, put your pride down, put your pride aside, and respond to the call of God to be part of the body of Christ. God has something greater for you than what you can imagine for yourself. God has something greater for you than just to hang out by yourself or to consider Sunday just another day to do whatever you want to do, maybe to catch up on your work or to go play all the time. God has something greater for you. He wants you to move into your calling, into your destiny, and you can only do this as part of the functioning body of Christ. Hebrews 10:24, Paul tells the Hebrews, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And so God says through Paul, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, beloved, the day that Paul was talking about is here. That day is here. We're in the end times, and things are going to get much worse until Jesus comes back. You're going to see Christians suffer great persecution. You're going to see churches undergo great persecution, even to the point of possibly be driven underground. You're going to see things in America that you can't believe is happening. And so Paul says, don't forsake the gathering together so that you can encourage one another, so that you can stir up love and good works and exhort one another in good works and to pray for one another. All these things that happen in the body of believers, that happen in the body of Christ, all these things help stimulate us to be what God calls us to be. They help stimulate us to be everything that God wants us to be, to move forward into our calling, to move forward into our destiny. And so as we do that, then we fulfill the calling that God has on our life. Well, the third thing that was a hallmark of the New Testament church was the breaking of bread. And I consider this to mean the breaking of bread in communion, because Jesus said, whenever you meet together, do this in remembrance of me. And of course, there's much symbolic in the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup. There's much symbolic in the communion sacraments, and it is a representation of the blood of Christ and his broken body on the cross. And so whenever we come together, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, who eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And so this is a time when we reflect on the Lord and we reflect on his death. We reflect on the fact that he's sitting there at the right hand of God. We reflect on the fact that he is coming back again. We reflect on the fact that we are going to be standing before him at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be standing before him to make an account of our life, to have our works judged by the Lord and examined by the Lord. And so when we stand before the Lord, we will receive that righteous judgment and those crowns of righteousness if we have been a faithful worker for the kingdom. But if we have not, if we've not done anything for the kingdom, a passage into heaven, but there will not be any special rewards with it. And so God wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be ready. And one of the ways you get ready is you examine yourself in communion. You examine yourself each and every week as you come together in the body of Christ. You examine and you do a self-examination, and you ask the Lord, Lord, show me. Show me where I need to correct my life. Show me where I need to strengthen my weak, where I need to forgive someone. Show me where I need to make a reconciliation attempt or an effort with someone that I've offended. And as you examine yourself, God will reveal to you places where you have fallen short of the glory of God, and where you have sinned against man, and where you have sinned against God. And you can then make corrections and ask the Lord to forgive you, and the blood of Jesus will cover you and forgive you, and you can go forward then with a free conscience and know that God has forgiven you. Verse 28 in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, or that is to say, many have died. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Well, maybe, beloved, if you're beset by sickness, maybe if you struggle with lots of chronic illness or depression or despair, or you have just no strength to go forward in life and no strength to do what God calls you to do, maybe you need to spend time and examine yourself properly before the Lord. Maybe you need to get a cup of juice and some bread and have a little private communion service and examine yourself and get down on your knees and just examine yourself and say, Lord, you show me where my life is falling short of the glory of God. You show me what I need to do to get right with you and get right with my fellow man. You show me where I need to make corrections. And God will be faithful and true when you ask him to show you his way. He will be faithful and true to show you the weaknesses. He'll help you see the weaknesses in your life. And then you can rightly judge and you can rightly examine yourself in light of Jesus Christ. You can rightly examine yourself and then you can make corrections in your life. He will give you the strength to break off bondage in your life. He'll give you the strength to break off any kind of addictions, any kind of despair and disappointment. He will give you the strength to take on the joy of the Lord and receive the blessings that he has for you. And you will rightly judge yourself, and you will not then be weak and sick and be in a place where you're constantly battling just to keep your head above water. That is God's will for our life, is that we examine ourselves and know that we are in right standing with the Lord, and know that we have a clean conscience going forward each and every day, that we have our sins taken care of, we have asked the Lord to forgive us, we have asked our fellow man to forgive us, and we have forgiven our fellow man. And when you do this on a daily basis and keep those accounts short and keep those slates clean, we are going to have joy, we're going to have peace, we're going to be able to sleep well at night, and we're going to move forward with strength of body and strength of purpose and strength of soul to accomplish the Lord's will in our life. Well, lastly, it says that the New Testament church, the hallmark of it was the prayers of the saints. In Matthew 18, verse 19, Jesus says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them." And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, Paul says to the Thessalonican church, pray without ceasing. And so as you pray, just think, as you pray by yourself in your secret place, there's great power in that prayer. God hears every word that you say. He hears every prayer that you pray. But even so, when you get together in the body of Christ, Jesus says that where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And so there's even more power in corporate prayer. There's more blessing in corporate prayer when you gather together with the saints and you lay out your prayer requests and you share with each other what is on your heart, the burden on your heart, and you ask others to pray with you and you lay it out before the Lord. There's even more power in corporate prayer. And when 10 get together, or 100, or 300, or 3,000, there's much power, great power there in corporate prayer. And the saints are crying out for this nation right now, and you're going to see revival come to this nation because of the corporate prayer. The remnant of believers in this nation is crying out for this nation, and there's going to be revival because God is honoring their prayers, and you're going to see ripples of revival go across this nation, and many people come to know the Lord because of the revival that's being kicked off now across this great nation. God's will is that every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he will see it come to pass. Beloved, if you're faithful, we're going to be seeing a great revival in the days ahead. It's going to be darkness for those who don't know Jesus, but there's going to be a great revival and a great coming to the Lord and a great blessing for those who receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite each and every one of you to contact us. Let us know you're listening. Let us know you enjoy these broadcasts. We have a great book out there, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa, that we'll send you for a donation of any amount. We'll get this book into your hand. It's a great book that will encourage you and strengthen your faith walk. It's a book that was written by yours truly regarding the Africa Crusades going back to 2010. And I appreciate the fact that many of you have ordered it, and I hope every one of you orders that book and gets it to read and for your family to read, and the donation will boost the ministry. And so we invite each and every one of you to partner with this ministry. And if you would be interested in a trip to Africa, we also invite each and every one of you to come to Africa this summer. We're going to be leaving the first week in July, and so if you come to Africa this summer with me, you'll be able to participate in the building of an orphanage there in West Kenya. And so I invite you to do that. Stay tuned for contact information, and we enjoy, again, bringing these broadcasts to you. Have a great week. God bless you. Tune in again next week.